All right, thank you, Al. Good morning. Well, we've got some... I'm glad they closed the doors because, you know, Brian and I were saying we could smell the turkey out there, but now that the door's closed, it's not, you know, coming in, so I should be able to do this okay. Smelling food and having to get through a sermon, whether you're on this end or that end, can be challenging. So, but we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, of course. You can open up to Philippians chapter 4. I have a fairly lengthy section that we're going to dig into here, but we're going to do it a little bit differently this time around, not my typical verse-by-verse exposition. We're going to take it kind of chunk by chunk here and break out some three key points from this section. But I want to begin by saying that I have spent most of my working life being dependent upon the gifts of others if my family and I are going to survive financially. For most of you, you know that I worked with KJYL, with Kinship Radio, for almost 22 years. That is obviously listener-supported. And so, and a lot of you gave to that. The church is given to that. And so I was dependent upon those gifts. Now I'm in a season where I feel even more dependent upon people's gifts because I've gone out on my own with my own radio show. And so I bring this up because even though I felt very thankful during those years with Kinship Radio for all the people who were generous and gave to support Kinship Radio, I feel like now, because I'm this direct recipient, I'm just overflowing with thankfulness to the point of just really being overwhelmed by the kindness of people like yourselves out there and many others, as well as just really overwhelmed by the fact that it exhibits trust placed in me as a messenger of God's word over the radio airwaves. Anyone who's coming on and supporting what I'm going to be doing is really placing faith in God. They're showing that they believe God has the ability and desires to use me in this new role and this new position. Now, I'm also really thankful that I have the opportunity to preach about thankfulness today, because last Sunday, it just so happens, I received an envelope from an anonymous source, and I appreciate the anonymity there. I understand why people would want to give anonymously, but at the same time, being one who's going to come up here and preach about being thankful, I thought, wow, what a great opportunity for me, because it's probably somebody in this room now or somebody watching on Facebook Live, and so thank you. Thank you abundantly for that great anonymous blessing. And thank you to others who didn't do it anonymously, and I know of you, I can thank you in person. But I wanted to do that because I think it's very important, whether it's anonymous or whatever, that we express thanks. And so I don't know who that is, I don't need to know, but I am very grateful for that. And so that's what we're going to do today as we examine the Word of God. We're going to take a look here at a section that talks about thanks for gifts. It talks about the importance of prayer with thanksgiving. Paul is just delving deeply into this subject of thankfulness. And so let me go ahead here and read chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 20, and see what Paul has to say about this, what God has to say about it through Paul. It starts off, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And I'll pause for a second there to say, I'm going to recommend that song for our Pie and Praise, and I want us to do it as a round. So can we do that as a round? Anna and I were talking before I said I was going to be, you know, preaching about this, and I thought we could do some sort of round, and that's always fun to, if you don't know that song, hopefully we can do it during our Pie and Praise time. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my trouble. troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, well, as I said, that's a fairly lengthy section there in Philippians 4, but we want to kind of have that as our foundation for the outline here, which I'll share right now, and it is this. I didn't take a look there to see if it's laid out in the bulletin or not, but if not, even if it is, here it is for you. The first thing is, thankfulness helps us rejoice. Thankfulness helps us rejoice. That's what we'll tackle first. Number two will be this. Let me finish that. I cut myself off. Thankfulness helps us rejoice, it keeps us from anxiety, and it grants us peace. So there's three components to number one. Rejoice, keeping us from anxiety, and giving us peace. The second one, when we think rightly, we have a thankful heart. When we think rightly, we have a thankful heart. And the last one we'll deal with is thankfulness breeds contentment. Thankfulness breeds contentment. Well, so back just for a second to this anonymous envelope. You know what I did when I opened that? You can imagine what I did. I rejoiced, definitely rejoiced and gave thanks to God because it's God who laid that upon the giver's heart to be so generous. And it's God who lays it upon any of our hearts for anything that we do. Anything that we do to amplify his work, to build into the work that someone is doing for him, was laid on our hearts by God. He is the one that really causes us to be thankful because we look upon what he has done for us, and we should be thankful. As Christians, there should be no people in the world who are more thankful than us because we recognize the greatest gift of all, what Jesus has done for us, and as a result, that thankfulness should just overflow from us. It's not always the case, is it? But that is the way that it should be, and we'll talk about that a little bit here. And so, when you live with an attitude of thankfulness, how can you not rejoice? That's our first point, is thankfulness creates a rejoicing-type attitude in you. A thankful person is a rejoicing person. That goes hand in hand. Whereas a discontent or a thankless person, those are the people that are bitter, they're anxious, they're tense, they're aggravated. If you don't have thankfulness, if you have thanklessness in your life, you're not expressing, you know, gratefulness, you end up as basically a bitter, unhappy person. Whereas when you are thankful, it's the opposite side. And the interesting thing is these are two extremes that are based really upon choices that we make. We can easily choose to be downtrodden, discouraged, in anguish at every circumstance that comes our way because there is a lot in this life that is discouraging. I think we can all agree with that. And so when these discouraging things happen in life, as they often do, we can make the choice to be discontent, to not look for things to be thankful for, but to focus on those things that are discouraging and that are frustrating to us. On the other hand, we can choose to thank God for the things that he has brought in our lives that are good and are blessings, and there are many of those. Sometimes we lose sight of just how many of those there are. Simple things like just waking up. We all woke up this morning, and we are all here. We're able to come here and get together. For some of you, you know, maybe you woke up and you took in the fresh, cold air of a new day and had that first cup of coffee, if you like that awful stuff. For me, this would not be a blessing to take in that cup of coffee, but for most of you, it is, I realize. So if you got to take in that cup of coffee and sit down and maybe visit with your family and have breakfast together, simple, common, basic things that we have got to focus on and remind ourselves how thankful we are that we have those things. His mercies that are new every morning, and we give thanks for that. And so the person who looks for things to be thankful for is the one who rejoices in his heart over the goodness of God regardless of their circumstances. Let me say that again, because that's one of those rare lines that I wrote by myself. Usually the good stuff in my sermons comes from Spurgeon or someone, but I actually came up with it. Well, I shouldn't say that. God hopefully planted that in my mind. But the person who looks for things to be thankful for is one who rejoices in their heart over the goodness of God regardless of their circumstances. And that is really the key, is that this thankfulness wells up in your heart, and it comes from the goodness of God that is played out in your life regardless of the circumstances. Now, on the other side, there are those who struggle to give thanks in all circumstances because the scriptures tell us to give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. And I am quite certain I have hit on this from this same pulpit. I've hit it in a lot of other churches where I've talked about the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 where it says to give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. That little preposition there, in versus for, is a big deal. And so I'm looking at Betsy back there. I'm thinking of Steve. You have some circumstances going on that I don't expect. I would never want to hear somebody say, you know, I'm giving thanks for cancer. I think cancer is just a great thing. I want to thank you that cancer's out. No, it's not give thanks for that. It's giving thanks in those circumstances. God, I'm battling this cancer thing here, which is part of the curse, part of the fall of man, that we have diseases and things. But I'm going to give you thanks because in this circumstance that you have allowed me to go through, I have opportunity. You know, I'm thinking of Steve and Betsy. I'm sure you've had this too, but Steve has told me just so many opportunities where he has been able to share the gospel with nurses and doctors and people that he would never have had that opportunity did he not have the cancer. And so in those circumstances, there are people in our body, there's people all over the world who are followers of Christ giving thanks to God because of what he has allowed them to be in, not thanks for it. So that's a big difference in a small preposition. But anyway, what I was trying to say there is that the person who struggles to give thanks in all circumstances is one who typically faces a lot of anxiety. If you can't get to the point where you can give thanks to God, even though you are facing cancer, even though you are just lost your job, whatever it may be, in those awful circumstances, if you can't still give thanks to God in those, you feel a lot of anxiety. And I can say that from reality, because when I have gotten the most anxious, it's when I've forgotten how much I have to be thankful for. Just a really simple example deals with this whole race, since my life right now is getting this radio show started. You know, when I focused on the two sponsors that I was short of needing to fund having the program on the air, I found myself really anxious. I think Amy could probably attest to this. But when I chose to be grateful for the six sponsors that I already had and focus on that and thank God that he had provided six sponsors, didn't even, you know, the majority of them didn't even know me at all, and yet they took that step of faith to sponsor this program, I had peace knowing that he would provide and he would take care of this as he always does, and praise God, now I have all eight sponsors for the show. So that is the attitude that we take. So yes, clap for that. So praise the Lord. Notice too that how I mentioned the peace that I had as a result of giving that over to him. These passages here, so we started with the rejoicing. That was one of the components I said I would hit on. Then I talked about the anxiety, how it helps us to avoid anxiety. Anxiety, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then the next thing is the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I mentioned this peace, and so a heart filled with thankfulness is also the way to have peace. Last time we talked about Jesus being our peace. That was kind of one of the big themes of the message last Sunday. And so being thankful that Jesus came to be our peace, to redeem us and reconcile us to our Creator, that creates thankfulness in us, as I kind of said at the beginning. When we acknowledge that Jesus is our peace and look at what he has done for us to restore a right relationship with our Creator and take our sin upon himself, well, that causes us to be thankful. So it's kind of this circular thing. Thankfulness helps to produce peace. When we have that peace, we're thankful. And it just kind of goes round and round like a circular argument. And so the one who's always focused on that aspect, focused on Jesus and what he's done, will have the peace. They will express their prayers with thanksgiving. When you're not focused on that, when instead you start to focus on what you don't have or how life has been unfair or why am I in this circumstance, that is creating the opposite of peace and thankfulness. That is creating the anxiety and the lack of peace. And so let's think just for a second here about this, because, you know, Paul could have written, don't be anxious about anything, by prayer and petition, present your request to God, and just that little two words there, with thanksgiving. What difference does that make? Why is it important that we present our request to God with thanksgiving? And as I thought about that, one of the first things that came to mind is, I believe that as followers of Christ, God sees us through his Son, so he looks at us with the clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And so if we come to him with our anxieties and concerns and burdens and our needs, and we bring all these things in a thankless attitude or a bitter, frustrated attitude, he's still going to hear us. We're still his children. So even in frustration, anger, thanklessness, I believe he'll hear our prayer and he'll respond according to his will and his timing, just because he does still see us as his children. So the with thanksgiving isn't there to say that if we don't do it that way, God's just going to ignore us. I don't think anyway. And again, every time I preach something in a message, feel free to come to me afterwards and say, you know, that's what Paul asked for too, to say, you know, I don't think that aligns with the Word of God. But that's just my sense, is that he still will hear our prayers. However, when we want to have a relationship with someone, specifically God, we want to have him hear us and appreciate communication with us. And, you know, if you come to someone with an attitude of bitterness and frustration and thanklessness, are they even going to want to talk to you? Are they going to appreciate hearing from you? Probably not. And so if we want a, what I would call a victorious answered prayer, and we want to see God's will done in whatever circumstance, we want to come with thanksgiving. We want God to be pleased with our requests, as both the request and how we ask it as well. And so John MacArthur said this, gratitude to God accompanies all true prayer. So in essence, he's really saying that if we're coming without the gratitude or the thanksgiving component, it's really not true prayer. It's more like we're trying to command God or just express ourselves without having this fellowship and this two-way relationship that prayer is. And so in essence, there are myriad reasons why we ought to desire coming to God with thanksgiving intermingled in our prayers. And one of the first of those is just the amazing fact that finite, sinful creatures can commune with the infinite Creator and have this relationship. We can have an audience with the sinless, holy God. That should be astounding enough that it's worthy of, you know, thanksgiving, that God allows, not only allows, but encourages us to draw near to him in prayer. That is just such an amazing, phenomenal fact that stirs up thankfulness, and it should cause us to desire to come to him by prayer and petition with thanksgiving anytime that we come. Well, what about the one who does, you know, come without thanksgiving in his heart? I thought, you know, it's just like the child who comes to his parents and begs and pleads in a demanding manner, expecting that mom and dad are going to give him what he wants just because he's their son. That attitude, we see that sometime. And maybe the parents, because they love their son, maybe they'll do what he asks. I think it's probably more likely that they'll feel it's best to decline what the little ingrate is asking for, whining for, and in essence, not give him what he's asking for. And I think as we come before God, if we come similarly, we can expect the same. If we come with a self-seeking motive, refusing to submit to his will, in essence, bucking his sovereignty, and how can we expect him to bless us and to grant us what we ask if we come with a thankless heart? But when we come expressing thanks and praise to him, we can expect for him to act, to take action. I'd expect he'd be much more receptive to that request. And the Bible tells us when we ask according to his will, according to his will being the key, we can expect to receive because we are displaying that we desire his will. We want his will to be done, not our own. And so it's really a matter of respect and honor and how we should come to anyone, not just God, but really we should come to anyone with a proper attitude. And so when we come before God to present our request, to present those things that make us anxious and concern us, we do so with thanksgiving on our hearts and in our hearts and on our lips, because we want him to know how abundantly we appreciate him and are thankful for his grace and his mercy and his care. Someone much smarter than me said this: the blending of prayer with thanksgiving is described as being infallibly effectual. In other words, it can't fail. That's what I understand infallibly effectual to mean. In essence, it can't fail. The blending of prayer with thanksgiving is described as being infallibly effectual. Ray Steadman said this. This little phrase, with thanksgiving, he called it a forward look of faith that thanks God for the answer before you see it. So in other words, knowing God's character and understanding enough about him, we know that the right thing, the perfect thing, the thing that's best for us will be done when we ask with thanksgiving. So it's showing that measure of trust and faith in him as we ask with thanksgiving. All right, the last component of this, and then we'll be on to point number two finally here, but we got to hit Spurgeon once, so I realized I preached the whole message last time and didn't have a Spurgeon in it. So Charles Spurgeon described the important truths this way. He said, "We are to pray about everything, and with every prayer we must blend our thanksgivings. Therefore, it follows that we ought always to be in a thankful condition of heart, since we are to pray without ceasing." The Bible tells us that too, to pray without ceasing. And we're not to pray without thanksgiving. So the two go hand in hand. We should, every time we're praying, which is all the time, at least an attitude of prayer all the time, it should also be always with thanksgiving. So he says, it's clear we ought to always be ready to give thanks to the Lord. The constant tenor and spirit of our lives should be adoring gratitude, love, reverence, and thanksgiving to the Most High. Now, if we are able to, that's what life in the Spirit looks like. If we're able to do that, that means that we are living in the Spirit constantly, because that is what life should look like all the time. It doesn't always look like that all the time, at least it doesn't for me anyway, but that's what it should be. The constant tenor and spirit of our lives should be adoring gratitude, love, reverence, and thanksgiving to the Most High. All right, well, that's quite a bit on point number one there, and gets us through about verse 7, I think, thereabouts. Yeah, verse 7, I guess. Point number two is dealing with, especially with verse 8 here, just a great verse of Scripture. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So when we think rightly, we have a thankful heart. When we think rightly, we have a thankful heart. Are you struggling with being thankful in your state of affairs of life right now? I wane in from time to time, and we probably all do, where there's seasons where we just don't feel very thankful. Well, this is a sure-fired solution. At least I believe this is a sure-fired solution. The next time you're feeling ungrateful, discouraged, bitter, anxious, any of these things that are kind of the opposite of thankfulness, all of those adjectives are really the opposite of thankfulness. When you're feeling those, well, pick up or even better, memorize this verse from Philippians 4:8, because what these attributes really are is Jesus. This is a picture of Jesus. Jesus is true, he's noble, he's right, he's pure, he's lovely, he's admirable, he's excellent and praiseworthy. He's the only one that fits all of these attributes. Hopefully we can exhibit some of these from time to time, but Jesus is these attributes. All of these describe him exactly, and I think that's why these were chosen here, because they just really embody Jesus Christ. And so the point is, when we are feeling anxious or bitter or discouraged, think about these attributes of God that are described here, and we can't help but be thankful, because we see these characteristics in him, and we realize that his Holy Spirit dwells within us, and gives us the ability to live in this type of manner, to be a true and noble and pure person and all of those things. And so gratefulness and appreciation builds up within us when we realize who God is, his attributes, what he has done to reconcile us and restore us to a right relationship with him. And again, as I said multiple times in this message, when we realize that, when we acknowledge that, remember that, it causes us to be thankful. Another component about this just deals with the whole aspect of thinking rightly. This is something that we can do because God has given us the ability to do it. Before we knew Jesus Christ and had a relationship with him, as I've said before, we were slaves to sin. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. Now, assuming all of you have a relationship with Christ, and your faith in him, your trust in him, allows you, instead of being dead to those sins and trespasses, to be able to think rightly. That veil has been removed, and now we can see and look into these scriptures and have the Holy Spirit illuminate these scriptures for us so that we can think rightly. Chuck Swindoll says this. He says, "Thoughts, positive or negative, grow stronger when fertilized with constant repetition." And I like how he puts this. He says, "That may explain why so many who are gloomy and gray stay in that mood, and why others who are cheery and enthusiastic continue to be so, even in the midst of difficult circumstances." And so if you find that when you get in that gloomy and gray, you know, position here, a lot of times it's because those thoughts become negative and they are fertilized with constant repetition. And the opposite is true too. If you have a cheery, enthusiastic attitude, it's probably because you're having, you know, the right thinking. You're thinking about Philippians 4:8. And as a result, even in difficult circumstances, the right thinking leads to right living, is the way I think I've heard it put before. Right thinking leads to right living, and thinking rightly is a method to thankfulness. All right, so that was much shorter time on number two. We're going to head into number three here. The last point on the outline is that thankfulness breeds contentment. There's absolutely no doubt about this one. A thankful heart is a contented heart, just as an ungrateful heart is an anxious, aggravated heart, as I said earlier as well. The Apostle Paul said that he learned to be content whatever the circumstances here, whatever circumstances he was in, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want, he learned the secret of being content in any of those. And I think he learned that because he was a thankful person. I believe that he became a thankful person on that road to Damascus when Jesus Christ came and changed everything about him. We don't know for sure if Paul was thankful before that or not, but I suspect just judging upon what he writes in his letters, that part of his life was probably changed too, thankfulness as well, because countless times in Paul's letters, and this would be a fun study, I did this a little bit, but I didn't look at all of them, but you can look at literally 15, 16 times at least through his different letters where he specifically gives thanks to those that he's writing to. I'll look at another one in Philippians in a second here, but and he says, "Thanks, I express my thanks in prayer." He says, "I thank you for the faithfulness and generosity, the commitment that he sees to the faith and to Jesus," and just on and on. Thanks, over and over again throughout Paul's epistles. He's always expressing thankfulness for something or someone. And right here in the text, there is, I won't go back to that, we read that already, but in chapter 1, I'm just going to read here a couple verses. Right at the beginning of Philippians chapter 1, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And he goes on to talk about, "He who began a good work and you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Another great verse there. But right at the beginning here, he thanks them. He thanks them again in the section that we're looking at here. He thanks the Thessalonians. I'm preaching at a different church through 1 Thessalonians, and the whole first chapter, almost the entire first chapter, is dealing with thanking the Thessalonians for various things. And so that is Paul's attitude. He's not just telling us to do it, he's living it out. He's exemplifying it for us. And my question is, do you know anyone like that? Do you know anyone who's constantly expressing thankfulness? I've met quite a few people who are like that. And as Brian mentioned in Sunday school, I don't know that there's a specific gift of thankfulness, but the point is, even if there is, if there was someone, you know, had the gift of thankfulness, that does not negate the fact that we all are supposed to be thankful. And so we talked about that, as I said, a little bit in Sunday school, different gifts and things. Just because you might not have that gift, we are still all to be thankful. And I hope that there are a bunch of people who would say that I'm this type of person, especially recently, because I've had much more opportunity to express that just in what's going on in my life right now. And so I hope people had already seen me as a thankful person. No one wants to be viewed as thankless. I think that's one of the worst things that I would not want to be viewed as, is being someone who has received a lot of blessings and yet doesn't give thanks. And I would add to that too, and I'm not great at this one by any means, I'm getting better, is that thankfulness comes from more than just saying thank you. That's really all I was able to do for the anonymous person, obviously. But you can do, the people that you know have blessed you in some way, you can do that much more than just a thank you. Whether it's a handwritten, I think probably one of the best ways is a handwritten thank you, because nobody does that anymore. Hardly anybody, I should say. So a handwritten thank you is great. Maybe I recall one time when I had a pastor friend who helped out build a lean-to at our place. And finally, after I'm not good at this because it took me a while to do it, but I got him a Casey's card or something like that, a gift card. So just the point being is, go beyond just the simplest, easy thing of saying thank you to, you know, really express how much you appreciate it. And ultimately, this kind of translates to God too, not just because that type of thankfulness, God appreciates that. God, you know, honors that in essence when you have that thankful heart. But in just how we thank God as well. You know, we're told to express thanksgiving to Him as well, because ultimately things that are done by other people for us are really, as I said at the beginning, are really as a result of God working in their lives. So you want to make sure that you first and foremost express thanksgiving to God for what He's doing in people's lives. All right, and so for Paul, in his case, it's though he intentionally looked for things to show appreciation for, and that's kind of another little side note or component of this. It's easy for the thanks when it's obvious someone gives you something or something, but to go out and intentionally look for things to be thankful for, and I find this in family or with my wife. You know, there are things. So many things that she does that I don't say thank you for, whether it's, you know, teaching the kids, cooking the meals and things, just kind of assumed. We get into that mode, don't we, of just assuming, of course, she's going to do that. Of course, he's going to take the trash out, whatever it is. Just the simple word, thanks for taking the trash out, whatever it is. Acknowledging and recognizing those things, intentionally looking for things to show appreciation for and saying thanks for those is something that Paul was really good at. I feel like he intentionally went out of his way to find things to say thanks about when he sent these letters. And so it's when we go that extra mile that we really display contentedness. And that's another one of the contentedness part is another one of those circular arguments here, in that the contentedness, when we're thankful, we have a contented heart, but then as we have that contented heart, we also find it easier to express thankfulness. So we're rolling on a couple circular arguments here today. And so understanding and believing this statement that Paul makes here in verse 19, let me just look at that and we'll wrap up here. He says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." In other words, there's no lack or shortage whatsoever in the kingdom of God. His glorious riches are so abundant that they'll never run out. And so there's no concern for the believer that my needs aren't going to be met somehow because God's supply chain is running a little low. Paul is very clear. God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Notice these little words that make a big difference. Needs, not wants. Not saying you're going to get everything you want. Your needs will be met. And realizing that, resting in that promise of God, that is what creates contentedness, and that's what creates thankfulness as well. So a contented spirit, again, drives thankfulness, and thankfulness breeds contentedness. They feed off from each other. So in essence, what I want to sum up with is that when we practice these things that we've been talking about here, this thankful heart, which breeds this contentedness, you're filled with joy, you rejoice, you're filled with peace. God has granted you peace as a result. You're not anxious all the time. You're not feeling tense all the time. You're not focused on, you know, the wrong things, but instead you're focused on the Philippians 4:8, the attributes and the character of God and how to live for Him, how to please Him. And you realize that you can do all that He asks of you in His strength. All of these are things that verses that are pulled out of here, and that's what I'd call an abundant, Thanksgiving-filled life. That's really our goal, is to live this life filled with thanksgiving, a life of abundant peace, abundant joy. All of those things that God promises to us come about as a result of having a thankful heart. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer here and ask that He would just use this, His word here, and just impact our lives and help us to live with thanksgiving and peace. Father, we just are thankful that You have given Your word to us, Lord. I'm thankful that You have opened up the truths contained in Your word for us, and I just pray that we would put those into practice in our lives, God. It's easy to kind of read and study these things and think on them, and we're told to think on these things, but a little bit harder, certainly, to put them into practice in our lives. So I pray as we go forth, You would equip us to be able to live thankfully, to express thanksgiving, and most importantly, to thank You, to have a right attitude and a right heart before You. God, we want to glorify and honor You, so help us to walk and live in obedience to Your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.